Yeah. Cross up ready on the building. We got Big Pudge in the house.
Steph Swig in the building.
We on the air like, here we go.
Here we go.
It ain't the same no more. People changing up the game mode. Lord, we on the air to let them know.
Let them know.
We got our own station now. Talking about the way the world is now. On the air like, here we go.
Here we go.
People changing up the game, oh Lord, we on the air to let them know.
Let them know.
We got our own station now, talking about the way the world is.
It's Car
now.
Talk with this radio, conversations about the high low. It's Big Pudge and Steph Swig, two bold brothers kicking down your door. Engaging listeners on topic, discussions to bring questions. We got real issues that need solutions. We got so many people that need deliverance. From ISO to the church doors, ain't no more keeping our eyes closed. All these elephants in the room, it's time to take time out with the broom. Instead of sweeping all these issues up under the rug, it's time we unify and penetrate what God's love. From spiritual to political, from astrology to science, from theologian to the Vatican, let's believe in things is happening. This ain't your average ordinary radio show, worldwide, blessed by the God who make the sun glow.
A show that promises to engage listeners in objective conversations and share scriptural truth that transcends one's emotions, personal opinions and preferences as a means to provide practical solutions and answers to real issues that affect real people by discussing a variety of diverse topics and provide thought-provoking answers to questions that we thought we knew the answers to. I just want to talk about stuff people don't want to talk about nowadays. I want to address the elephants in the room. I want to be thought-provoking, open-minded.
We on the air like, here we go.
Here we go.
It ain't the same no more. People changing up the game mode. Lord, we on the air to let them know.
Let them know.
We got our own station now. Talking about the way the world is now. On the air like, here we go.
Here we go.
It ain't the same no more. People changing up the game mode. Lord, we on the air to let them know.
Let them know.
Got our own station now, talking about the way the world is now.
Welcome to Crosstalk Radio. This is your man, Steph Swig.
And it's your boy, Big Pudge, in the building.
Yes, we are excited. We got another great podcast for you today. We got to talk about something that's kind of, it's very heavy. It's really going on right now. And we just felt like we need to really talk about this because this is a very important issue. Today, we will be talking about mental illness, especially in the light of things that's been going on in the news here recently, but it's something that's been going on for a long time that needs to be addressed and been swept under the rug for so long. We need to really do our part that we can, Pudge, so we can expose people to the symptoms, the healings, how to cope with it, how to get through it, and all that good stuff, man. But before we get into that, Big Pudge is going to share some things that's going on in the news right now that inspired us to do this podcast this morning.
Yeah, well, the first thing, you know, everybody knows, this brother that's in Cleveland, is going around, he says he's been on a killing spree. He says he's killed 13 people. He's working on 14. We definitely know for a fact that he did shoot and kill a 78-year-old man. He actually told the man, he actually walked up to the man and, asked him, did he know his girlfriend, Joy Lane? And then he looked at the old guy and said, this is the reason why this is about to happen to you, and, shot him in the face. That is, I watched the video of him in the car, talking to a friend or something like that. And this is a part of mental illness. I actually had a friend, yesterday put up a post and she was, calling out churches and calling out leaders and pretty much putting them on blast and saying that it's time that we stop, sweeping mental illness up under the rug like it's a cliche or something like that. And sadly, this man right here, he clearly has some serious mental issues to where he pretty much said in this video he don't give a F no more. He just got tired and he's always there for people and nobody's ever there for him. And, he just was deep off on his soapbox and he just don't care. He's just going to start killing people. One of the things that I kind of find really disturbing is the fact that he was a caseworker in Cleveland for children with behavioral issues. And how ironic is that he's a grown man with serious mental issues but he's a caseworker for kids who have behavioral issues. So that's just one small area that, you know, has not been touched when it comes to, you know, the way the world does things. You know, me personally, I always feel like when you're going to go work for the government, you need some kind of mental test that you need to take so we can make sure that your mind is mentally stable upstairs so that you don't, you know, haul off and be something like this brother right here who he call himself Stevie Steve. You know, so stuff like that. Like I said, man, you know, it's this is a lot. You know, the spirit of depression, you know, want to talk about that was really on Steph's heart real heavy. And then, you know, last night going on Facebook and all I seen in my timeline is, you know, this man talking about going on a killing spree. So I definitely think it's time to, you know, address, you know, that depression spirit, address Amen. Anger, you know, address these things that people keep bottled up within themselves, and then they wind up just, you know, losing it.
That's right. I was on my heart so heavy. I hit Yusuf up at 5:31 this morning on the dot. Like, yo, we can record today, man, if you need to. We got to talk about it. God put it on my heart on Saturday real heavy, and then I hit Yusuf up this morning, and so the opportunity presented itself. So here we are recording this one about depression. So I'm gonna talk about the spiritual side and the mental side of it as well, natural side of it as well. However, you know, in the physical side, it's always influenced by the spiritual side. For those who don't really know, that's a fact based on from my experience, from my studies, from everybody I've talked to. Mm-hmm. The spiritual and natural side of everything, but the natural manifests itself in the spiritual. His being God said, "Let it be," and it was so spiritual coming into the mental, spiritual coming into the physical. However, I'm going to share some things about myself. I went through the, you know, let me explain this real quick. There's a difference between a person who is depressed, like has it in their family, that kind of mental illness, or a person who's dealing with depression. When I say dealing with depression, I'm referring to people who had something that happened to them, like recently, like, you know, lose a job or wife leave them, someone dies, something like that. They go through a spell of depression. Mm-hmm. Me, I dealt with it, depression, because I don't know why I dealt with it, but I know it runs in my family as a mental illness. And, you know, sometimes I can be ashamed of it, but right now I'm putting my pride aside because I got to share this because God laid it in my heart to share it. And I believe the more I share it, the less power it has over me in the first place. And plus, people need to hear it, so I ain't got time to be all proud hearted not to share what God's laid in my heart to share. Lo and behold, some things about Steph Swig. Steph Swig has been diagnosed with being bipolar, depressed, and anxiety. I dealt with depression twice in my life, two different periods. I was healed from it twice, and now I will explain on that one. The first time I was depressed, and nothing happened in my life. This is the mind of a depressed person right here. A lot of them, at least, anyway. I was hurting really bad. Didn't know why I was hurting at the time. I thought it was each and everything that was wrong in my life, everything that was wrong. Oh, my marriage ain't where I wanted to be, so now I'm depressed. Oh, you know, or I don't make enough money, or sanctuary's not doing what I thought I should be, so I'm depressed. That's why I'm depressed. That's why I'm depressed. And what it is, those are the early symptoms. And for me, I know what I was doing now. Back then, I was hurting, and I was trying to put a face on where the pain was coming from. Mm. And that's depression. And when you're depressed, no matter what your eyes see, no matter what people tell you, whatever's real in your head is absolutely real as me and Yusuf sitting here right now. Mm. I'm a very loved person. Everybody outside my family knows Stefan has a loving family. Stefan family is supportive. You know, that's the type of family I have. In my household, that's where I was raised. However, when I was going through my depression, man, I literally was convinced that no one on this planet loved me, that everyone, only people wanted to deal with me is when they needed something from Stefan. So when the guy was like, "I've been there for everybody, nobody wants to be there for me," that's a symptom of depression right there. Mental illness, whatever you want to call it. I really felt that way for a long time. No one convinced me anything. And I didn't think I was depressed. I thought that's what was going on. Like, no one loves me. That's why I'm unhappy. This is why this is, you know. Mm-hmm. And after a while, I went to counseling because it was affecting my marriage. And I thought we were going to go to counseling and talk about why my wife is making me unhappy. And kind of find out Stefan has depression. I didn't want to accept it because I'm a Christian, and then like, yo, I ain't depressed. God's got me, blah, 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 blah. He's like, yeah, you know, he explained it to me a little bit better, the therapist, and he did a great job. And he gave me some things because he suggested medicine. And I'm like, no, God's going to heal me. It's a spiritual attack. God is going to heal me. I'm going to be healed. And lo and behold, years later, I was healed from it. I went to church service, and it was a healing church service. And the pastor got up and preached about faith and how to activate your faith. And he said, if you want to be healed from whatever it is you being plagued by, then you got to, you know, believe right now. This is your time. Mm-hmm. And I felt God speaking to me. And at that moment, I believed and I prayed, and I was healed. I literally felt the depression leave my body. I came home, did a Swiss corner on it and everything. Uh-huh. And a couple of years later, depression hit me again, and it hit hard. I think it hit harder the second time around. And this is where I say it's a spiritual attack, because I called a friend of mine, and I called to talk to her about something else, and we ended up getting to talking, and she started prophesying to me about why I was going through this attack again. And she said that the attack was because God had something new for me to do, and I had to go through this test in order to get to that next level. However, Satan was trying to deter me from that because he wanted me to think that I was never healed in the first place, and help me to doubt and taint my faith in the Lord. And it did work. It did make me question my faith. God, I thought I was healed. What's going on? But that's how I know it's on the spiritual side of it. But in the mind of a depressed person, no matter what you say to them, you can't change their mind, you know, at the time. Like, they convinced. And I'm going to have to say, like, for me, you know, it really affected my marriage in a negative way. It's kind of hard to have a happy marriage when you blaming your spouse for everything that's wrong in your life. Like, I'm unhappy because of you. Wow. If you did this, if you did that, and she knows she was doing her best, and then, of course, that situation makes it more depressing. But the thing is, when you're going through depression, you don't see that. You see it as everybody else's fault. And I've been on both sides. I've been around depressed people who attack me for not being informed like they thought I should be, and I've been a person who's been attacking. So I know all it is an attack from the devil, and also knows that it's not what you see in your mind is not true. But it's a real situation. And when I say real, I wasn't going through depression. I was depressed for no reason. That was a sad thing. Like, I was so, my life was good. Mm-hmm. My life was great. I was enjoying my life. I mean, if I looked at the paper, if I wrote down how my life wanted to be, the way it was living, it was exceeding what my own expectations was. So I was good. But no matter what happened, I was sad. I was like, can't think of the word right now, but I really, really down to the point where I would just be by myself sometimes and just cry for no reason. Just feel like I was just so sad, I would just cry for no reason. I couldn't even tell myself why I was crying. That wasn't like a one-time thing. It was quite a few times. Mm-hmm. And even with all that going on, I still didn't want to get help. I had to just get to the point where it really affected my household in a very negative way. I had like, you know what, Stefan, I got to go get help. So I went to therapy, and they gave me medicine. And the medicine kind of helped. It didn't help at first, and I ended up having to take different medicine. It was a long journey, but it was a very, very tough time, and it was depression. And I ended up having to go to a mental hospital for a week because I couldn't be outside, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And it was a very serious thing. So when I say I went through, it wasn't like I was just something in my life made me sad. No, I was just dealing. That's depression, like a person who has it in their family. Right. That's that type of depression. And when I hear this guy talking, that's what it reminds me of, those symptoms. However, let me share some things with you about the person who was depressed. When a person is dealing with depression, they don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. So don't expect them to be positive and happy-go-lucky and all that other stuff. And telling them to get over it does not help. It actually hurts. It actually is like adding flame of gasoline to the fire. Mm-hmm. That is a very, very offensive statement to someone who's going through depression. And because when you say that, you're implying that they just choosing to be this way. And right. I wasn't choosing to be right. depressed. For one, everybody knows me, knows Steph is a happy-go-lucky, positive, upbeat, joking kind of guy. So to tell me to get over something that make me want to fight you right there. Seriously. You know, I'm delivered from depression now. Right. And I still want to fight over that kind of stuff. But the thing is, you have to understand, when people are depressed, They want to be happy. It's almost like if you haven't seen Get Out, it's kind of like Get Out. It's like you're literally trapped in your own body. Like, you see what should make you happy, but it's not making you happy. You remember what it was like to be happy, but you can't be happy. You remember what it was like to be yourself. If you loved yourself, you missed out. I was missing Stefan when I was going through depression, man. It wasn't no joke. So you have to understand that when it comes to depressed people, do not tell them to get over what you can do is just continue to love them, be supportive, and keep the conversation as positive as possible. No matter how they try to steer it, no one loves me. Show them something contrary to that.
Yeah.
But you cannot take it personal, because they will lash out. They will. First thing a lot of people do, like everybody I know that's been depressed around me, they would always latch out like, no one cares for me. I'm thinking, I'm on the phone with you. How do I care?
Right,
like,
right.
You didn't call me till I said I was depressed. So what? Now I'm calling you. What's going
on?
But the first thing people that's depressed, they want to do is latch out against everyone in their circle. Why? I don't know. But that's why. I mean, that's what happens. However, the person who's being the victim in the situation, understand that it's not personal. That's that spirit talking. It's the depression talking. It's not the person. So if they're in the right mind, they would know you love them and all that stuff. But when you're depressed, you can't feel, you can't see that kind of stuff. You just experience hate, anger, despair. It is not a fun place. But do not take that personal. That hurt my household. I almost lost my marriage and my kids over that kind of stuff, man. Just latching out on them like, y'all don't care for me. Y'all don't want to spend time with me, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, where is this coming from? Like, no one understands me, you know. And I mean, for me, it was really bad. Like, I mean, I was saved, too. I was saved when I was going through, and I was embarrassed. I didn't want to get help. I'm a black dude. From one, black people don't want to get no therapy from when it comes to mind stuff. The only therapy we think about when black folks is weed.
Right.
But, exactly. You know, for me, I don't do weed. I don't do drugs. And God was going to heal me. That's all I stood on that. God's going to heal me. I'm not taking no medicine, blah, blah, blah. And I got to a point where I couldn't even be out here in the free world. I had to go to a mental hospital because I couldn't cope anymore. And that's embarrassing. And then I'm a believer too, so I'm more ashamed. I'm a believer, and now I'm telling people they need to get saved, and I'm in a mental hospital. How that look? You know what I mean? How's my witness now? Like, Lord, how am I telling people to come to you, and I'm all up in here depressed? That's whack. I couldn't do it.
Right.
And so I'm praying. I'm fasting. I'm doing all this other stuff, man. And I'm begging God to help me. And nothing seems to be working at the time. And so I got on medicine. The medicine helped a little bit. It helped me get stable for a little while. But it was a horrible thing. But understand, you know, it's not just a medical thing. The medicine, I'm going to say about medicine is, it helped me balance myself. But like the doctors told me, it didn't make me happy. It won't make you happy to be on antidepressants, if they even work. And it takes about a month for those to work. And on top of that, I was on other medicine to balance out the other stuff that the antidepressant medicine kept me from sleeping. So I had to get other medicine. So it's not a good, it was a slippery slope. So I had not lost my faith, but my faith had definitely been affected negatively by what I was going through. I'm thinking, God, you delivered me from this. Why am I in hell, basically? Why am I in hell going through and going through and going through?
Mm-hmm.
And during my whole journey, I started realizing I'm going through this for a reason. And the word says, you know, you have to count it all joy because the testimony of faith builds perseverance and all that stuff. And when I embodied that, that helped me get through it. I started learning that I had authority over these problems, and I took it in control for myself. So I began to pray. I began to fast a lot more and pray more and anoint myself with oil and do everything I knew to do. Because when you hurt, man, you do whatever you got to do.
Mm-hmm.
But, and that helped me get through. That helped me get through a lot. Not just cope, learn how to deal with it. I'm like, God, I know I'm going through this for a reason, but I want to be delivered. And then after a while, I went from begging God to help me, Lord, please help me, Lord, please help me, to casting out demons, casting out depression. I cancel depression in the name of Jesus. You have no authority over my life. I count joy over everything. And when you start doing that, it shifts. And the spirit, I felt it shift. I'm delivered from it now. I'm not on any medication or anything like that anymore, nor am I dependent on it. Haven't been for a while. And I was delivered. But during that journey, it's not easy. And when you're praying for stuff and you're praying for stuff and you're praying for stuff and it's not working, you know, it's a scary thing. Mm-hmm. It's like, God, what's happening? And then when I read the word and it said Jesus had, you know, some things you can't cast out by prayer alone, I had to fast. I had to literally fast to get rid of it.
Yeah.
So you have to understand that on the spiritual realm, on the natural realm, you know, the medicine did help. In the natural realm, how it manifests people, you have to understand depression is not a condition you can just get over. It's a condition. It's a sickness. It's like AIDS is a sickness. You can't just get over AIDS. You can be delivered and healed from it on a spiritual level, but you cannot just get over AIDS. So it's the same situation when it comes to depression or mental illness. You know, what it is your body doesn't produce serotonin and dopamine. Those are both of the chemicals in your brain that give you the sense of well-being. And when those chemicals aren't present, everything is escalated. Everything that's bad is escalated in your mind, and it becomes very real to you. Your wife could have said something to you a year ago, and it's affecting you now. She could have not kissed you goodbye the way you want to get kissed goodbye, and now your whole day is ruined because of that. And it's really a hard, weird place to be. It's not a godly place to be, you know. And the reason I didn't want to talk to people about church at church about it, because I felt like if I talk to people at church about it, they think I was sinning or I'm being punished for something that I didn't, or, you know, some kind of something like that. That's kind of how it was perceived, how I perceived it.
Right.
And a grand example, someone found out I was going through depression, and the first question they asked, "What was he going to church? Like, is that the understanding of depression, that if you go to church that everything's okay, or is that the depression if you're in church, or you're depressed, you can't be depressed in church?" That really bothered me, because that's what it was saying to me, like. Mm-hmm. People in church go through real stuff. You go to church. Church is a place of sick people. That's what church is supposed to go there to get healed and inspired and influenced and that kind of stuff. Not if you go and everything is perfect. And so when they said that, it really bothered me. But just because you're depressed and a believer don't mean you're not living right. Mm-hmm. Christ is the perfect human being. He was attacked. You know, we go through, we grow through. And it's a very, 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 very dark place when I went through that stuff. It's a very dark place. When you can't be happy, when you just cry for no freaking reason, and you just crying, like weeping, like someone died. Like, there's no, I don't know how else to describe that feeling, but it's a horrible place to be. And what I'm trying to say is, like, on a natural level, when someone's dealing with depression, everything in their head is real. So it's nothing you can really do, and they're very dangerous. You know, I got low to the point where I didn't want to live. And I told God, I was like, God, if I got to wake up feeling like this again, I don't want to wake up. And it's not that I didn't want to wake up. I wanted the pain to stop. And that's one thing I didn't understand before I went through. Like, when people kill themselves, like, oh, they're a coward. They weak. You know, they left their family behind, blah, 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 blah. And I'm a family man at heart. But when the pain gets so heavy, man, you just want to do whatever you got to do to get it to stop. And when it got to that point like that, for me, I didn't attempt suicide. I just knew I wasn't opposed to the idea of suicide. So that's when I had to go to the hospital. And this is God, because this stuff was not proud of. I'm really going to talk about this, but someone needs to hear it, so I'm going to share it. But that's what I went through. However, I can tell you again, that God healed me. Hands down, God healed me. And it was through a lot of prayer, a lot of fasting, a lot of controlling my thoughts. And honestly, when you change your thinking, it does affect the chemicals in your brain on a natural level. So I'm trying to balance, go back and forth in this conversation and talk about the spiritual and the negative, and the physical side. So when you change your thoughts, it does change the chemicals, and therefore give you a feeling of well-being. But after I defeated it, it still try to come back from time to time, but I've already defeated it, so there's no fear of depression anymore in my life. There's no, when I feel it, I cancel it out, and I continue to do what I do. But I will, you know, but that's all I got to say about that right now. Yusuf has some more interesting stuff he wanted to read about, the more on the spiritual side of things, and I'll elaborate after that.
Yeah, just on a spiritual aspect of it, I just want to read this article that I have pulled up, and it says, "Depression is a spirit, a disease sent to afflict the body and torment the mind. A person doesn't get depressed overnight. It has been lurking and waiting for the opportunity to take control over your thoughts. And these spirits don't travel alone. It has companions. You need to be able to recognize the symptoms of depression just as you would a common cold. If there's no preparation or preventive care to offset this disease, then you become vulnerable to its power. And once it has gotten possession, it's difficult, not impossible, to get rid of. This is one of the spirits in the Bible which can be called or known as a strong man. Matthew 12:28-29 says, "But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house." So, this is completely spiritual. I don't, if you're thinking that, oh, this is happening and that's the reason why I got depressed, it's a spiritual, it's a 1,000% demonic attack. It's, whether you inherited from family, whether it came on you somewhere in your life. I went through depression for almost 2 years, but it didn't hit me until I was 37, 38. So, you know, me and Step have both been through depression, but we've both gotten it two different ways. Yeah. So he pretty much got it from his family, you know, that been a generational curse. And I got it because of something I went through in my life, you know what I'm saying, later on down the line in my life. So don't think because you wasn't born with it, that it can't happen. Because, you know, the enemy, all he wants to do is to kill, steal, and destroy you. So if he can bring depression in later on down the line, when you think everything is like, oh, so good, he'll do just that. This other thing says, before the spirit of depression enters the mind, other demonic spirits are at work to manipulate your thoughts, your attitude, and character. Many times we don't pay attention to these things and accept the behavior because we believe it is justified. So that's one of those telltale signs that you can start actually looking at when you're justifying. Because the thing about it is there's another disease that's called denial. And it is a strong, it's a strong disease, and it's just as bad as depression, because when you're in denial about something that is very truthful about yourself, it is a incorrect spirit that is in your mind that is telling you, it's a part of that manipulation. It's telling you, no, you're not that bad, or you didn't cuss that person out like that. Yeah. They deserve that and stuff like that. And then you actually believe, and you start validating, that incorrect spirit validates itself for something you did that was not right. So let me say this. I gave an example earlier as far as, you know, most of the time depression or anything that happens to someone, it comes from childhood. I'll give you an example. This guy in Cleveland, who he calls himself Stevie Steve, he said he has a lot of built-in anger and he's just tired and he just, you know, he just don't care no more. He also said in the little video that he's tired of always being there for people, but nobody's there for him. Honestly, he's showing a lot of red flags of something happening to him as a child, and it never was tended to, whether he was depressed as a child and it never got tended to, whether he went through some emotional stress, whether he was molested, whatever the case may be. It sounds like something happened to him as a child, which started off as an incorrect spirit, and as he grew up with him, it turned into a strong man. So the difference between an incorrect spirit and a strong man is, an incorrect spirit could just be simply you, you're outside with your friends, you're real, real young, and you know, you realize don't nobody want to play with you. So, you know, you have the enemy manipulating your mind, telling you these folks don't love you. That's the reason why nobody wants to play with you. That's an incorrect spirit or incorrect that's coming to your mind. Fast forward 20 years later, you went from 7 to 27, 7 to 10, 17. You went to 27, and now you still have the same mindset. Now you at work, and you're going to sit down for lunch, but you didn't try to sit with anyone. You just purposely sat by yourself. And you're looking around and notice that nobody's coming to sit with you. But that same incorrect spirit at the age of 7 is still telling you at 27, these people don't love you. That's why nobody's around you. This and that and that. So at 7, it was an incorrect spirit. At 27, it's a complete strong man. Because just like you, it had to grow up. So that spirit grew up along with who you are. And once an incorrect spirit becomes a strong man, it becomes more challenging to get healed and delivered from that spirit, because by this time that incorrect demonic spirit knows you in and out. It has been in your spirit, in your body.
Know what your triggers
are.
Insecurities, everything. It exploits the heck out of all.
You better say that, and you better know the minute you start finding joy, peace, and happiness, it's going to start triggering your mind to think about everything upsetting, everything. Mm-hmm. You could be in a perfectly happy, awesome relationship, and that strong man will trigger you to have you thinking that this woman or this man has a underlying meaning on why they're with you, and they just love you, and they just simply love you. So just believe, depression and this mental illness is a very, very sick disease, and is one of the main diseases that the devil uses to continue to manipulate and torment people's minds so that they'll never get any kind of healing.
Yeah, and see, and then also, we all have purposes, and every purpose is to extend God's kingdom here on this planet. So when Satan knows that's happening, he will send whatever he can to attack you, and his attacks are powerful, not to the point where you can't overcome them, but they are strategic attacks. Mm-hmm. And for me personally, I know what it was for. I told you before, like I was doing a lot of stuff for the kingdom behind the scenes, and I was moving forward in a lot of great directions, and that's when this attack came on to the point where I had to shut everything down.
Wow.
Everything down. And but it's all good. But when you talk about the scripture, tying up the strong man before it takes over the family or the household, it had me thinking, and I always thought about that scripture when I was going through them, thinking, because I know how it affected me. Mm. And when you're the head of your household, the attacks come to you first.
Yeah.
A lot of them do.
Yeah, they do.
And because if I fall, the whole household falls. And I can tell you for a fact, when I was under attack, my whole household was falling apart, man.
Right.
It affected everything in this household. And then when I got things in order, it affected everything again.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the truth. That the attack was so, you know, for me, when I was going through, no, let me back up for a minute. I just want to elaborate again. When a person is depressed, they don't want to be depressed. I'm going to have to say this again because people tend to have this mentality. I know I said earlier, but people tend to have this mentality that when someone's depressed, they choose to be depressed, or you just want to be miserable. No, we don't love being miserable.
Mm.
Trust me. Understand this, people. This is what I read. This is what I've experienced. When a person is depressed is around you, they're doing everything they can to hold it together to be around you. When they're smiling, it's an effort. They're not trying to be miserable. So understand that it took a lot for them to even get there, to be where you know, in your presence and smiling. Just because someone's smiling don't mean they're not depressed.
Mm-hmm.
But don't just assume that they can just get over it, that they're choosing to be that way, because that's the worst thing you can do. They want to be themselves. They miss themselves too. It's hazy. They don't get to experience life. They can see good stuff happen, but they can't experience it in the fullness of the joy that it creates. And that's depressing in itself.
Mm.
And then, you know... And then also, you have to respect when they back up, when they back away from you, like, not like literally step back, but when they back away, pull away, and go to themselves, sometimes it's healthy for them and healthy for you. Because there's times when I was around people, I had to just get by myself because I felt the episode coming on, I felt some kind of way, I just needed to back away before I react a certain way.
Right.
To get myself out of the situation, despite how you might think the situation is. It might not have been a bad situation, but for whatever reason, something about that situation is overwhelming me, so right. I need to leave.
Right.
So
right.
When they do that, get out their face. Don't take it personal when they don't return your calls or when they don't return your text, because sometimes it takes... You don't understand, when you go through depression, it's affecting your mind. So it takes literally, sometimes when it's attacking you so bad, it takes every ounce of effort to return a text. Sometimes they don't want to call you because they're hurt, and sometimes they don't want you to see that side of them. I'm a happy guy. I don't want to call people when I'm all depressed. And what's wrong, Steph? Not be crying all on the phone,
right,
and stuff.
Right.
Nah, I'm the happy dude. I'm the right. dude that people call when they depressed.
Right.
That's not me. That's not my character. But when I got to the point where I was going through, I had to back away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you talked about the symptoms on there earlier. So here are some of the symptoms that's been documented, and some of them from my experiences as well. The crying spell is definitely from my experience. Crying for no reason. Weeping like someone died. When I would cry, it would feel like I lost a close loved one. That's the amount of pain that was on me. And it'd be nothing wrong.
Right.
And that's creepy, weird, scary, frustrating.
All that.
It's humbling because you it's like there's no pride when you're weeping on the floor for no reason. Right. There's no pride there at all.
All pride is out the door.
It's on the floor. It's everywhere, man. It's no pride there.
Right.
Right? You got those symptoms. Then you don't want to get out the bed. It takes 100 times more effort to get out the freaking bed, to go to the bathroom, to wash up and stuff like that.
I've heard that.
Because what you want to do, you don't want to move. It's almost like this is the only way I can cope right now is by laying here. Mm-hmm. That's kind of how it feels. It's like I'm going to sleep it off. I'm in too much emotional pain to move right now. It's a weird thing, but it's true.
Wow.
And that's not fun at all. And then, you know, you lose interest in stuff that interests you a lot. Like if you like to play sports and also you don't like playing sports or whatever, mm-hmm. that could be a symptom. You know, it affected me in being around people, and it affected me with movies. I love movies. I collect movies. I have movie posters in my living room. Mm-hmm. I go to movie conventions. Like, I'm a movie fan.
Yeah.
And it was times I couldn't even watch movies. I couldn't watch movies. I couldn't hang around people. It was times where, those who know me, I love cookouts. I do cookouts. I get around, you know, I like to be around people.
Mm-hmm.
It was times when I was at cookouts, I literally wanted to jump off the off the deck and run home to get away from people. Literally.
Wow.
And it took every ounce of me not to do that. Like, I'm thinking, they're going to really think I'm crazy. And when you go into depression, no, you know, you don't want, that's the worst thing. You don't want nobody to think you're crazy. You don't want, and then it's aggravating because now you don't know if the reason your reaction is natural or if it's depression talking.
Yeah.
Like, if someone normally pisses me off, it would piss me off. But if I'm depressed, I don't know if it's really pissing me off or not. And then you get tired of people, are you,
Did you take your meds this morning? Yeah. Nah, why can't you be pissed off about this? I took my meds. Like, this is real. So that's where justification comes in. You know what I mean? It's like, so things that would normally piss me off, you got to question, like, dang, should this really piss me off, or is this the depression? You have to really question your mind. It's really weird when an attack is in your mind, and you got to tell your mind not to believe your mind. It's hard. It's a hard battle. So therefore, you have to lean to the spiritual groundings.
Right.
But to those of you who have depressed people in your lives, understand that if they can help it, they would, because we don't choose. We don't want to be depressed. I think we're depressed. We're still depressed because we're in the media. The attacks are real. Mm-hmm. And I think it's because we haven't learned how to pray in faith, or I have enough faith to cast out yet.
Right.
Or the healing has not manifested yet. But doesn't mean it's not coming. For those of you who've been abused by depressed people, who've been latched out against, I'm not saying physical abuse, I'm talking about like verbally or just attacked or accused of not loving somebody, not being for somebody, don't take that personal. It's hard. It's hard because it hurt my feelings. When I reach out to people, I'm like, oh, I'm praying for you, bro. Don't pray for me. You ain't prayed for me before. It's like, dang. So I'll get out the phone and I'll be praying for him. But it's like, it's hard. It's a battle.
Right.
And I've been through depression, so I've been both sides of it. So it's like, it's still hard.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's easy, but understand that. So now I got to preach a little bit. So, when I was going through depression, it was the hardest thing I've ever gone through in my life. And only because anything else, like, I can make more money. I can get another wife if marriage didn't go through. Mm-hmm. I can do all kinds of different things. Like, if I lost my job, I can catch another job. But you can't get another mind.
No, you can't.
Like, no matter where I go, I can't run away from my mind.
Right.
I can't run away. So no matter where I went, the depression's right there with me. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so it wasn't until I realized that I can defeat depression by prayer, like real, like the spiritual. When I say prayer, I'm talking about spiritual warfare type prayer. When you're in a prayer room, you're going in.
Yeah, you're going, yeah.
Like, because I got tired of feeling victim. I'm in there begging God. I'm like, I'm a child of the Most High, and I'm in here begging you for healing. It's like, Lord, help me get through depression, because, like, it's hurting.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I started taking authority over my life and over my prayers, like, this is my life. This is my mind. I tell my mind what to think.
Right.
When you have to take that aggression, that authority to overcome it. And I ain't saying cope with it, try to deal with it. I'm talking about take the freaking authority that you were given at since the beginning of the time and kill it. And that's what I had to do. I had to tell my mind. I had to tell myself I wasn't depressed. I had to speak the things that I wanted to happen in my life. I had to speak healing over my life. I had to cancel out depression. Cancel out, like, I am not depressed. Depression, you have no authority over my life in the name of Jesus. Jesus already healed me. Manifest. You know, you don't have no place over here. I cast it out. Get out of my house. You are here illegally. All that stuff.
Right.
And that worked. I'm not saying, it works. It's like, there's no other way around. It's not thinking positive. That helps too. All these things help. But defeating it is a spiritual thing. So I cut it off at the root. I didn't want to learn how to cope. I didn't want to take the medicine to cope. I took the medicine because at the time I was weaker and I couldn't handle it.
Right.
And the medicine, like I told you before, people, the medicine brings balance to the chemicals. It doesn't make you happy. But when I was on the medicine, and everybody's symptoms are different, it's like, I'm here, but I'm not here. Like, I'm able to, it's like I said, it's kind of like in Get Out, you can function and move, but you're not yourself. If you haven't seen Get Out, it's kind of like you walking in zombie mode, but you're like a functioning zombie. That's kind of how I felt. I could laugh, but I couldn't experience life. I couldn't enjoy the life. I see stuff around me that should make me happy. My kids are around, you know, stuff, wonderful things happening in my life. And I can see it, and it translates like I should be happy, but I'm not happy. I can't experience this.
Right, right.
So, I didn't want to cope.
Right.
So, on the medical side, people, if you're on medicine, that's you. That's fine. I'm not judging anybody for being on medicine. I mean, I was on medicine myself. And some people are, like I was telling you before, the medicine is get there to help you balance those chemicals. And eventually, some people are, because I talked to my doctors, and some people can take medicine for a while to bring it back in balance, and it stays in balance. Some people can take medicine and have to take it for the rest of their lives. Me, we're believers, so I ain't taking no kind of medicine for the rest of my life for something that God can already heal me from.
Right.
But that's how I work on the mental side. Your body doesn't produce the chemicals to make you feel happy or the sense of well-being, or at least balance it. And when your body doesn't produce that, it gives you depression. That's what it is. That's actually depression. When your body doesn't produce the right amount of serotonin and dopamine, those are the chemicals. But there are things you can do while you are manifesting your healing and praying, because either way it goes, we live in a body. Like, I can pray all day for my hunger to go away, but if I'm hungry, I'm going to need food eventually.
Mm-hmm.
So even with the spiritual healing part of it, you still have to do your part on a natural. So there's a lot of suggestions they had, and I got to give it out, put it out there, because it's depressed people that listen. I know it's depressed people that listen, because
most of the people on the planet are depressed, going by the statistics I've studied. So so chance of y'all listening, y'all are listening. Mm-hmm. And God gave it to me. But anyway, you know, you have to get out your head. It's hard. It's difficult. It is not impossible, but you have to get out your head. So for me, I wrote. I like to write anyway, but I kept a journal for like 3 years. And then some people write songs. Some people do all kinds of different things. Some people write poems. Some people color. Some people go read to little kids at school. Whatever brings you joy, you have to do that for you. And I hate to say this, people, but when you're in the heat of the battle of depression, you have to be selfish. In a sense of, you have to not cut everybody out, but put your needs first, because if you can't help anybody if you're not in the mental capacity. You have to fall back.
Yep.
It's hard. It was hard for me. I'm a family man, family friendly, friend oriented person too. But I had to cut everybody out for a minute to take care of Stefan. I had to go walking. I had to go pray. I had to go to the parks. I had to find me some other outlets until I got to the capacity of where I can get, until my healing was finished. My healing was complete. So make sure you take care of yourself. Make sure you talk to people, get in a good circle. You got to be careful who you talk to, because if people don't understand depression, they will tell you the wrong things.
Yeah.
And it will only make it worse. But again, family members, do not take it personal when people in your family are depressed and they need to go away. Being that someone who is depressed, look, we go away for reasons. It's a lot of reasons. One, we don't like being around people when we're going through. For one, it's embarrassing. Two, we don't want to say the wrong thing. And then what happens when you're forced to be in someone's presence, that when you're depressed, you might latch out and hurt someone's feelings, say some very damaging things that you don't mean. And then, you don't, then when you don't calm down, you're feeling really bad about saying something mean to your mom, your cousin, or cussing somebody out in your family that loves you. And then that makes it even worse. So understand to help them. Love them from a distance. Reach out to them, but don't force yourselves on them. Do not force yourself on them. But if you think about it, God doesn't even force himself on us. So do not force yourself on anyone who is depressed. But be aware of the symptoms. Loss of interest. Even sexual loss happens in other cases. Loss of interest in sex. And that's something that people are mostly interested in. So you start seeing somebody who don't want sex all of a sudden, who used to want it. That's a symptom of something.
Mm-hmm.
And so you got to be aware of these symptoms. Again, loss of interest of things, that activities, antisocial, loss of appetite or appetite increase, mood swings, moodiness. I think it's kind of obvious if someone breaks down and cries for no reason that they're depressed.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of other symptoms. So be aware of those symptoms and be mindful, but be praying for these folks. Pray for yourselves too, but pray for these folks, because understand that a lot of times they can't help it. Not that they don't want to. Trust me, I didn't want to be in the living room crying in front of people in my house. I didn't want to be there. Like, so to tell me get over it, you would have got punched in the face back then.
Yeah, I wouldn't tell them to get over it, but I sure no got tired of all them daggone phone calls every day though, boy.
Yes. Yes.
But the fact that I had already been depressed before, it wasn't irritating, because honestly, all I said to myself was, dang, so is this what I was doing to people when I was depressed? Yep. So it gave me an understanding to not have an attitude, you know. So I would encourage people to find laughter.
True.
You really need a lot of laughter in your spirit. Set a time to where you actually, like, you know, we're like, laughter is good for your soul. Whatever it is, that's 100% fact. If you're going through anything, it ain't even got to be depression. If you just had a rough day at work or something like that, man, go on YouTube, find you a good comedian or watch a comedy show or something like that. You will be amazed at how much you feel better after you spend about 30 minutes just laughing, just pure laughter. So laughter is good for your soul. I want to encourage churches. I want to encourage leaders from all over the world to, if you have been sweeping the mental illness thing up under the rug, I would implore you to not do that. And, you know, if you're a congregation and, you know, there's a lot of people in your congregation that suffer from depression or suffer from, you know, just mental issues and stuff like that. If you don't have the capacity to, you know, teach your leaders to teach the people, bring someone in. I'm a firm believer in balance. And balance as in, yes, you need Jesus, you need the Holy Spirit, you need God the Father to help you get delivered. There's absolutely nothing wrong with adding on, you saying a counselor or you sitting on someone's couch, you know, seeing the counselor. Like, I think that's healthy. I think that's balanced, because you do need someone from the psychological aspect to show you what's chemically off balance and what's going on. And then you need the spiritual part to understand what's spiritually going on in your body. So if you ask me,
it's twofold.
Yeah, twofold. You need both entities to really, really get that full, complete deliverance. You know, Proverbs, and Step said it earlier. I'm just going to give you the actual scripture. It's Proverbs 23:7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. Pretty much, if you think you're depressed, then you are. If you think you're sad, then you are. If you think you're being tormented, then you are. That's what that means. So whatever you think, you become that. So we
have the power to shape our own reality, literally.
Amen. Exactly. These spirits attach themselves and work on your emotions. This is why many times you feel something is not right, but don't always know it is, or why you feel that way. You are being manipulated and set up by the demonic spirit of depression to get control over your mind. Now, you know, I'm a say this, and you know, these are for people. You know, I mean, I'm a believer, so I have to tell you exactly what it is that I feel, and pretty much I actually know you how to defeat depression. And you know, everybody might not agree with it. However, you do need to understand that it is a disease. It's a spiritual and physical disease. And in order to defeat these low spirits and avoid confrontation with the spirit of depression, you must first accept Jesus, Yahshua the Christ, as your Lord and Savior, and be filled with the Holy Spirit, who will give you the power over the enemy and the spirit of discernment to recognize Satan's tactics, his schemes, and devices to control and manipulate you. Pray the word of God daily and seek his face for wisdom and understanding on how to overcome and defeat the spirit of depression. Get you a prayer partner, someone who's accountability, someone who you know without a shadow of a doubt, no matter what it is you're going through, they're going to stop and they're going to pray with you or pray for you. And find, if you don't have a church home, find you one. But find you a church home who is where the congregation is not, or the leaders are not sweeping stuff like this up under the rug, to where you could freely go talk to someone in the church, a minister or another leader, about depression, and really, really get some help. And surround yourself with good people who always stay happy, who always got laughter in their spirit, and people who are staying prayed up. Me and Step at two different times went through depression. We both use the same techniques to get healed and delivered from depression.
And we both are healed.
Exactly. And trust me when I tell you, it feels so good to be on the healing, delivered side of it, versus, because when you see people, you relate to it because you've been through it. And it really hurts to see people in a state of mind. Like this brother, and I just can't seem to let it go, because, you know, it's not coincidental that yesterday we celebrated the resurrection of Christ after, you know, him giving his life and being in the ground, or being in a tomb for 3 days and then rose and dawned. And this man chose this sacred day to want to be a day to where he wants to call a certain day a massacre. Like, it's all attention. Like, he it's obvious he didn't get any attention as a child or as an early adult, to where he's all on Facebook, you know what I'm saying, and all on YouTube. And pretty much what it is he's looking for an attention. But it's sad, because somebody could have gave this brother some attention when he was a little kid, to where he didn't turn out to be who he is today and right now. And this 78-year-old man will still be living. So people, when I tell you that, you know, this depression thing, and I just want to give out a shout out to Tamara Lloyd. She's actually, you know, I read her post yesterday, and she pretty much called out all church leaders, and she called out leaders, period, about sweeping mental illness up under the rug. And then it just coincides and lines up with this guy doing this right here. So I appreciate sisters like her who Pretty much like me and you, Step, you know what I'm saying? We don't really hold no punches.
Yeah.
And when we see that there's a worldwide issue that needs to be addressed, you know what I'm saying, we take it to the world to let them know that this needs to be addressed. So thank you, sis, because she actually was the reason why I sent you, you know, this topic. It was like, we need to talk about this, but then you had already, depression was already on your spirit anyway. So it's amazing how God will line things up to where, you know, it falls right in place. So, yeah, man.
So let me share a little bit more. And we're going to let y'all go and get back on with your day with the new information. So I'm praying for healing for each and every person that's dealing with depression. And those of you who want to talk to us more about it, I'm open because I've been through it. And so I feel like, you know I got a lot of insight on both sides of it. So hit us up at crosstalkpodcast@gmail.com, crosstalkpodcast@gmail.com if you want to, you know, comment, you need some prayers about it or whatever, hit us up. We're here for you. That's why God gave me the vision to do Crosstalk, just to reach people and help, do, you know, extend his influence on this planet, man. I want to help people. So if you have any needs that we can help you with as far as that goes, hit us up. I do want to say on the mental side of things, therapy does help. And we got to get that, we got to get that shame off of us about going to therapy. That's false. Like, I don't understand that. I don't know where it comes from. Like, I know people say, I ain't paying nobody. Tell me what I already know. I ain't paying for a conversation. Look, that conversation can save your freaking life. Then go for it.
Right.
It saved mine, my marriage. You know, it saved a lot of things in me. Not to mention just my peace of mind. But at the end of the day, the mind is one of the things in your body that you cannot live without.
Mm-hmm.
So why not go to a therapist to enhance your physical or your mental health? Doesn't make any sense to me. So get that shame off you. Get that pride off you. Go. If you think you're dealing with depression, go. If you don't think you're dealing with depression, go anyway. Like, you don't always have to be sick to go to the doctor just to get a checkup. You know, you go to the doctor for your physical, see what's going on with your body, make sure everything's good. Why not go to a therapist to make sure your mental health is in check? Exactly. The body is a temple. Let's take care of it on every front.
Exactly.
I go to a therapist. I have been. I don't have no shame in going. I would go tomorrow if I felt like it. I don't feel the need to go now, but I have gone. It's benefited me greatly. And this little bit of information right here might help you out. A lot of insurance companies cover mental health now because that's how serious. If insurance companies don't want to pay money for anything. So if it's covering mental health right now and will cover therapy because it falls under the mental health category, that's another reason you might want to go get it checked out. So if you're dealing with anything, you know, of course, we gave you the tools to get through it, but you can get through it. Do not think for one second that you cannot get through this because it can be defeated. I'm living proof. Yusuf is living proof. A lot of people around us are living proof. You know, it can be defeated. And when you're going through, I know it's hard to see light at the end of the tunnel, but know there is light at the end of the tunnel. You can be healed and delivered and set free from depression.
Yes, you can.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Jesus' name. I felt like I needed to put that there.
Right, right.
But anyway, that's it. Yusuf, you got anything else?
Nah, man. I just, like I said, you know, people get that laughter in your system, man. And, you know, for all these, you know, entities, churches, leaders, community centers, whatever the case may be, you know, y'all, please, 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 at a time right now where you have a black man going around, you know, really delusional in his mind, not caring about what he does. This is a time for us to step up. This is a time for us to talk about these things that's poisoned ourselves, our minds, our communities for the longest. And it's time to just, like, stop sweeping it up under the rug and really put it on the forefront because, you know, you got people out here dying in their minds before they die physically in their bodies.
True. Wow, well said. So thank you guys for tuning in and checking us out once again. I appreciate all your prayers, all your support, all the love you show us. Shout out to my mom who tunes in every time we do the shout out.
That's right. Shout out to Lisa Payne, my kindest favorite listener.
And everybody else that's listening who we don't know your names yet, you email us, we'll shout you out on here anytime. Right. Anytime. So anyway, thank you. Tell your friends, family, churches about us. And if there's anything you want to hear us talk about or cover, rather, hit us up, crosstalkpodcast@gmail.com. Thank you for tuning in once again. I'm Steph Swig.
This is Big Pudge.
We Crosstalk
Radio.
Peace.
Peace.